This is produced by the violation of the principle of spiritual omnipresence. Unaware of spiritual omnipresence, you are separated from the spirit in your belief. And that belief in separation becomes the cause of death. Conversely, the knowledge that I am not separated from the spirit becomes eternal life. And the only way you know whether it's true or not is by proving it. Death is a violation of the principle of the omnipresence of spirit. The principle remains true. The omnipresence of spirit remains true. The violation is our mental belief or our ignorance of that law that spirit is present without us. When we make the correction, I think you might find some kind of answering reassurance within. In my knowledge, that my spirit and the spirit of God are one, it becomes quite clear that for me to die, God would have to die. And inasmuch as I do not expect that, it also becomes clear that in the oneness of spirit, life is eternal. And that can be pursued further by you with, I think, accompanying assurances that you have found a truth you can depend upon. Certainly Jesus felt it was a truth he could depend upon. I and the Father are one. Go ahead and crucify me. You can't kill me. I am a spirit. I and the Father are one. Spirit cannot be crucified. Why should your spirit die if the spirit of Christ cannot die? The truth is the truth. But there has to be someone who knows the truth and does not permit the subtle hand of unbelief to enter in consciousness. So each of these principles, though simple, demands your concentrated devotion to practice them. To face the opposites that appear to you with the truth, knowing that the Spirit of God is with you. These are absolutes. You can't play with them. You do them or you don't. And the statement is made here specifically that when you are able to reach that level of consciousness which knows that you can never be separate from the Spirit of God, you will achieve the overcoming of death. And that statement is backed by a great deal of scripture which constantly reassures us that if you believe on me, you shall have everlasting life. If we can't believe the Christ, who can we believe? Your fourth principle. Principle. There are no material persons. I was shocked when I heard that inside years ago. It took quite a number of years before I even was willing to even believe it or think about it. No material persons. And even now, when you wonder what took us so long, you'll find that you're still going to have material persons in your world. Even though you may reach the conclusion that they're not there, you're still going to find yourself reacting to them. It's going to take quite a while to uncondition yourself. And so you'll have to put something in its place to help you. Maybe you like to see light bodies. But I find the best way to know there are no material persons is to begin with yourself. Many of you who are in the healing work will find that a most invaluable principle. The moment you have a patient and are capable of knowing you don't have a patient, you don't have a material person to deal with, somehow the patient seems to feel better. You're not holding him in bondage to the untruth. You're realizing the spiritual reality of that individual. It registers. It really registers. No material persons. And the reason is that invisible spirit is the identity of every individual on this earth. President of the United States is a spiritual individual. So is the head of every other country, whether you like him or not. And we find that a lot of the people we don't like are just as spiritually true as people we do like. And it's up to us to overcome this reaction to the physical sense of life. Because you're not binding them, you're binding yourself. The judgment you mete out to the other is a judgment that returns to you. As soon as you judge another person materially, you have judged yourself materially. As you can see, we have difficult principles, and yet they're simple ones. It's very easy to understand them. The problem is, how do you orient your co-consciousness to live with these principles? And the only way you will do it is if you see the worth of it. And the worth of that comes down to a few simple words. There's no other way to eternal life. No other way. There's not one of these principles that you can fulfill without your Christ mind. And only your Christ mind opens the kingdom of heaven to you. Your human mind is really the Judas mind. It betrays you. It closes the gate of heaven. It keeps you in bondage to physicality, which is temporary. It doesn't release you to spirit, which is eternal. You see why we don't have this class often? Now then, because you are not a physical person, and your husband isn't a physical person, and your wife isn't a physical person, and your child isn't a physical person, you've got a lot of homework to do. A lot of the things you like to do for physical people, you won't have to do. You simply recognize their spiritual actual relationship with you as one of spirit. And the things you have wanted to do will be done. How did a thief on the cross remain alive except through the spiritual recognition of the Christ, that this is spirit, not a thief? How did a girl in the coma, almost dead or dead, sit up and eat food, except spiritual recognition? How did a boy in a coffin, whose brain had ceased to function, stop a whole funeral procession and go home? Spiritual recognition. Someone didn't see him as a material person or as a dead person. Someone saw him as a spiritual being, even though appearing dead, even though appearing comatose. Oh yes, it was a trained consciousness that saw him that way. But that trained consciousness was our teacher. We owe it to ourselves to do the same, to strive to do the same. I don't know what dictator we wish to see spiritually right now, or I'd meditate on him. But if there were one, and we could hold the truth of his being, there would be a change. I don't think we could make angels out of everybody. But at least we would curb some of the homicidal tendencies that seem to strike people from time to time. And we've had such meditations where we saw the non-reality of a condition and we have seen results. We've had group meditations like that. And I think in the seminar we'll have one later. See what actual spiritual recognition does. And there'll be a response to our work. Later, let's meditate upon the ozone gap. We'll save it for later. We'll be thinking about it. Let's see the spiritual reality there where the world sees an ozone gap. Don't be surprised if somehow we plug that gap. Well, we're into no material persons, and I hate to leave this one because we haven't nailed it down. I think we better do it. I'm afraid to let it go. It's too important. We'll have to meditate on it for a moment. I'd like you to take someone close to you. Not someone outside of your daily contact, but someone close to you. Someone ailing, if you wish. Someone well. It won't matter. But someone you care about. Someone it's hard for you to see as a not a person. And obey the scripture. That spirit being everywhere without opposite, this individual and I are spirit. We are one spirit. You don't have to do any more thinking. Just abide in the knowledge that the Spirit of God is the substance of the form that you are meditating about and is the substance of your form. That invisible Spirit is the substance of God, the substance of this form, the substance of your form. And rest there. You've trained yourself to take no thought, you'll find your meditation deepening. Attesting to in the silence is not going to change when you come out of meditation. The truth that you are accepting in consciousness that you and the individual for whom you're meditating are one spirit is an eternal truth. It will never change. It won't matter when your eyes are open or whether you're 500 miles away. that will always be true. And when you're not on this planet, that will still be true. It is an eternal reality. You can never be separated in spirit from spirit. That is why your life is eternal. And as long as you believe in persons, you lose that. You're in automatic separation when you believe in persons. But once having given up the belief in persons, you find you gain more. You gain the capacity to realize the inseparability, the inseparability of your spiritual self. You are an infinite spirit. And when you think of persons, you deny the infinity of spirit. You give up much more when you accept persons. And when you give up the sense of persons, you gain a knowledge of your reality. Don't let it end with just this one meditation. Dwell with it much and frequently. It will teach you a great deal that can't be said in words. And will bring to you hidden power. The fifth rule is that hypnotized mortals cannot overcome illusion. If you want to break out of the illusions of the world, you must first break out of your hypnosis. If you're in a world, you're hypnotized. If you're in a body, you're hypnotized. If you're in time, you're hypnotized. Hypnotized people cannot overcome the illusions of the world. When you are no longer hypnotized by matter, time, space, the false appearances of the senses, you are then able to break the illusions. And the reason we haven't broken the illusions up to now is because we are still in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We're still persons in our own mind. And we deal with persons. They buy our goods. We sell them goods. We buy their goods. That's the level we work on. And so we perpetuate the illusions of our life because we refuse to break out of our hypnosis. We say, I and the Father are one, but we know it's not true. We can't be one with God as a person, only as a spirit. Now those on the path of transition know that they must overcome their hypnosis in the various methods we have just described in order to overcome the illusions of the world. I don't think there's anything said so far that can't be developed to a high capacity in 3 months. We're not talking about lifetimes. A person concentrating for 3 months could make great progress in the various principles so far enumerated. Some of us have that time. We can concentrate on this. The sixth principle is interesting. It says, change no condition. But instead, realize the omnipresence of spirit. And realize that spirit being omnipresent, the perfection of spirit must be omnipresent. And then let that perfection manifest itself. Change no condition. Realize the perfection of omnipresence is ever present, and then let the condition adjust itself, let the spirit manifest the absence of condition. Now the key words there are change no condition or improve nothing, just the opposite of what we would be normally doing. Improve nothing. Because the moment you try to improve something, you have already denied perfection is present. And in that moment, you've lost it. If spirit is omnipresent, then the perfection of spirit must be omnipresent. So rather than go out to improve what is perfect invisibly, simply recognize it. That's a principle that can be applied instantly in your life. Recognize the presence of perfection. As automatic when you recognize the presence of spirit. Because spirit is perfect. We're going to use that principle much more often than we have up to this moment. And I'd like you to dwell with it. If possible, to apply it right now. The perfection of spirit is as omnipresent as spirit itself. So let's say your friend has broken a bone, okay? and you're recognizing that your friend has no bone to break, that your friend is spirit. And correlative with that, you're recognizing that spirit is perfect. And that's as far as you have to go. You're holding that in consciousness. And while you're doing that, although you haven't analyzed it, your Christ mind is functioning. Because the human mind will not reach those conclusions. Now, your Christ mind being the active thought content within you, you are depositing soul essence. Instead of mind essence. And this soul essence, while you're working for someone else, is building your soul body. Every time you release the Christ mind with truth, you're developing soul essence. Something new is happening to you, unknown to yourself, invisible to all sense perception. You see, that's the end result of what you're doing. You're manufacturing soul essence. Only truth releases your Christ mind, which in turn releases soul essence. Only divine truth. All the thinking you do in this world won't release divine essence. But divine truth does. And everything you've heard so far is a Christ principle. Will come the conviction that the presence, the perfection of the presence of the Spirit of God fills your universe. The perfection of the Spirit of God fills your universe. You will know this is not an opinion. It's a divine fact. And you will find yourself walking in that perfection. Wherever you go, the perfection of the presence of Spirit is there. But you must be aware of it for its power to manifest. It has always been there, and man has been unaware of it. It cannot go anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are, it's there. It is omnipresent. And if it's in your living consciousness, is omniactive. And if you're hungry on the desert, in the knowledge of the omnipresent perfection of God's Spirit, there's no reason why loaves and fishes could not appear where you are. Or your hunger could be slaked in a different way. You know the Bible is full of those miracles. And this is the reason. Because the Christ awareness of the omnipresent perfection of the Spirit as one infinite Spirit becomes the force that manifests that which is needed and which appears through grace. There has to be a true witness in spiritual consciousness. You may have witnessed this more times than you realize when you stop and think about it. Grace functions in our life in mysterious ways. That's your sixth principle. I call it the sixth rule. Change no condition. Realize the omnipresence of Spirit and the accompanying omnipresence of this perfection of that Spirit. And then be still and let it manifest itself. We'll take one more rule. When personal ego dies, the true self appears and the true universe appears, but only when personal ego dies. This is another way of saying, blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the kingdom of God. Ego isn't necessarily vanity. It isn't this puffed up, pompous idea that I'm somebody. Ego is a sense of being, a human being. That's ego. The sense of being a mortal person. The sense that this skeleton is me. That's ego. A personal sense of self. When that goes, the true universe will appear and the true self will appear. Those are the seven rules. That are related to the omnipresence of Spirit, which is only the first principle of transition. And now I'd like to meditate with you. I'm going to suggest three different types of meditation. They needn't be done morning, noon, and evening, but I'm suggesting morning, noon, and evening just to give them a different time. And in the morning, The meditation theme would be, my Christ mind now lives. My Christ mind now lives. I want to be awake to that. But it can't live on the in the world. My Christ mind now lives in the kingdom of God. And when I am in my Christ mind, I am in the kingdom of God. That's your meditation. My Christ mind now lives in the kingdom of God. Automatically, that's where I am when I am in my Christ mind. When you fulfill any one of the seven rules given today with your Christ mind, you'll find you're in the kingdom of God. And that's where the power comes. Let's hold that a minute. Get into place some morning. If you can, try it for a week. My Christ mind now dwells in the kingdom of God. There's no other place it could be. Feel some kind of a release in that meditation because it takes you out of the personal sense of self. The limited little me. The second would be, I'll call it the noon meditation. My Christ mind is not influenced by appearances in this world. It knows only the invisible spirit of my perfect Father. Third, we'll call it the evening meditation. I no longer can waste 24 hours of every day living in a human world. I must live in my Christ mind.